Hi guys, Salam Nerds here, and we want to talk to you guys about the floods in Pakistan that have damaged almost a million homes and wiped out entire villages. The flooding in Pakistan is due to climate change. The melting glaciers and torrential rain have caused the death tolls to be in the thousands, with more than 33 million people displaced. One third of Pakistan is underwater. This is more than a national emergency, this is a humanitarian catastrophe. This is because the CO2 emissions produced by countries like the UK, the US, Russia, and France. Pakistan does not have the infrastructure to withstand this devastation. Even though Pakistan is one of the lowest producers of GHG at 1%, it is one of the top 5 worst affected by climate change. We here at Salam Nurse are sending direct links to you guys to Islamic Relief so you can donate. Please donate generously.
Welcome to Salam Nerds Podcast.
Alright guys, you ready for your first EDM festival?
Let's go!
My first EDM festival. Yo, 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 it's the Salam Nerds! My name is Dean, aka Watch the Geek. I'm here, my boy Chad. Yo, what's up? We got some new friends up in here!
Thank you to our supporters. Please like, comment, share, and subscribe.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neebs, aka Watch with Neebs, and I'm here with my co-host Jeff, aka Jazzercise.
Jazzercise? You gonna show the photo?
Should I show the show? Let me show the photo. All right. So I went to Firefly Festival this week, and I saw a guy wearing a shirt, and I chased this dude down. I chased him down because he had a shirt that said Jazzercise on it. And I was like, I got to show Jazz. I got to show Jazz. And like, they came up to me and they're like, wow, you must really like Jazz. And I'm like, no, I just have a friend named Jazz. I was like, no, I don't.
It's like, no, I don't.
No, I'm sorry. The only Jazz I know is from La La Land, which is, you know, a white man jazzplaining to a black man.
That was hilarious.
That's what that movie basically is, man.
Pretty much, 100%, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, speaking of friends, let's introduce our friend Minaz. How are you doing, Minaz?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We're so happy to have you back.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Actually, I remembered now, Neebs. The reason why I found your account was because you were in a Princess Tiana cosplay, and that's when I was doing cosplay only.
Oh,
yes. Wow. So that's how I actually discovered you, is because you are also a cosplayer.
Okay, first of all, I was not in a Princess Tiana cosplay.
No. You know, from the movie.
I was Prince Naveen from Tiana, the Princess and the Frog. I was not dressed as Tiana. Yes. Yeah. So basically, this is a cute story. So I'll share it because it's really, really nice. Basically, I found out through like a TikTok that like Princess Tiana's, Prince Naveen was actually Daisy, or at least a lot of people consider him Daisy. I think they show his mom wearing a sari, his name is Naveen, and the city that he comes from is kind of based off the Maldives. So it's like safe to assume that he's like Daisy or Daisy coded. So I was like, cool, I'll dress up as him, right? So I was like, you know what, Comic-Con, there's a bunch of princesses, maybe I'll find a Princess Tiana. So I met a bunch of fairies from Cinderella and the Cinderella. So I met Cinderella and the three fairies. No, the three fairies were from Sleeping Beauty, I believe. Right? Okay, so I met Princess Aurora and the three fairies from Sleeping Beauty. And they were like, Tiana's here, you should go find her. And I was like, you know what, my family wasn't there. I was kind of at Comic-Con by myself. And I was like, you know what, I'll go on a little side quest. So I went on a side quest and I was like, I'm going to talk to every single Disney princess here, take a picture with them, and try to see if they can lead me to Princess Tiana, because who better to know where a Disney princess is than another Disney princess? So I went and I searched and I searched, and then I thought I found one, but she was actually a Hamilton cosplayer. She's a CEO. She didn't even that. And then basically, I gave up, decided to go home. And then I was like, cool, let me get like one cool shot of the escalators, like going down the escalator so I can get an aerial view of the thing. On my phone, I actually got in the corner a shot of a little girl wearing a Princess Tiana outfit. And I ran back up the escalators and I got a picture with her. Her grandmother was there. And I turned the whole thing into a TikTok and it went viral and it was really cute. And she was so happy to see me. Her grandmother was really happy to see me. They took pictures with me and it was really cute. And then like maybe a few months later, their family found it on Instagram and they went crazy for it and they thought it was really, really cute. And their family said they loved it and they showed it to her and they showed it to her mom. It was a cute story.
That's awesome.
That is a cute story.
Yeah, it was super wholesome. So cosplaying is very wholesome. There's a very wholesome aspects of cosplaying. But I'm nowhere as good as you, Minaz. I feel like you're at a different level than I am. I'm a casual cosplayer.
But to be fair, there's some people way better than me as well. So it's not really a competition. It's about feeling good in yourself. And I think that's what's important about cosplaying. And that's the beauty of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of feeling comfort in yourself and how you look, let's talk about this episode of She-Hulk. I thought it was really cool. Even though this episode came at a very inconvenient time, as she says, as she breaks the fourth wall, which I thought was pretty cool because it was a little stab at all the fanboys looking forward to seeing Daredevil. What do you think of that, Minas?
Yeah, I thought it was really funny. I'm actually really enjoying this whole series. I think a lot more than most people are because it's just a little girl show and that is my forte. I'm always here for it. And I think that in terms of Daredevil, just give up. You're not going to get him until like, I think end credit scene at the very last episode. You know, this is a show about She-Hulk and she, in the beginning, she's like, don't forget whose show this is. This isn't going to be like, Is that going to be Mephisto? No, it's She-Hulk only.
Absolutely. Jad, you were one of those people that was looking forward to
it. I was. Daredevil. And you know what? It's funny because this whole show, pretty much was like, Jazz, you want to see Daredevil? Okay. We'll see how that goes. Like, they were just trolling me, right? And like, a lot of people would get upset. But now I'm just watching this show and I'm like, damn, they got me good.
They
this
did.
Great. I love this. This is good. They got me.
They got your number, bro.
They got my number. They're like, let's see how many of these people we can get like this. And the people are getting angry about it. I'm over here like, no, well done. Like, you figured us out. You knew exactly who you're marketing to.
Exactly. It's so funny to me. Like, I love the little digs at all of the haters that they have on this show. And like,
so meta.
And like these people on TikTok and some of these things, it's so funny that they don't realize that the show is making fun of them. Like, yes, bro, they're doing this on purpose to tease you, to make fun of you. Like, I saw this guy the other day, and he posted something like he was basically almost about to cry, and he was so mad. Like, I'm watching this for one reason and one reason only, and he was so mad. And then. And like I took that clip of him and I put the scene from Spider-Man 3 where he goes like, little Goblin Jr. gonna cry.
That's so funny. I really love that. And I love that the show actually had to predict what these reactions would be like during filming before it even released. This is an in live feed reaction. They knew exactly what was gonna happen. And It happened, and it's like, wow, you guys are so predictable that they did this in pre-production. They knew what you were saying.
They're
verbatim. Yeah. Verbatim what they said. The comments are like pretty much exactly the same.
It's so funny. And they're still doing it. They're still falling into the trap.
Six episodes in.
Bro, this show... Love it.
Oh, good time with it.
The thing is, like, look, so this was actually probably my least favorite show, but I mean, least favorite episode of the show. Because I love all, but not because I don't like this one, because I do like this one, but I loved all the other ones so much more, which I thought were, because there was so much funny stuff that happens, but this one was really, like, and I just don't like white weddings. I feel like they're boring. I feel like when you're Daisy and you're like, you see white weddings, they're very boring to me. I'm sorry. No offense. right? Like, I don't know. It's just like, I don't know. I hate wedding episodes in general, like across the board, right? Unless they're like a different culture. White weddings, I've seen them since the 80s. Like, there's nothing new to those stories, right? So just because of that, I didn't love it, but I did love so many other things about this episode, which I thought was really cool. For example, we see Jen finally happy to go to a wedding because she's like, yo, I'm She-Hulk now. I work for this huge company. I do all of this stuff. I am the shit, right? I can't wait to go in there and kind of flex on all these motherfuckers, right? And then they ask her to change into Jen instead of being She-Hulk. And then they ask her, like, are you dating anybody? Just like constantly making
priority one, right?
Yeah, constantly making her seem small and making her feel like a failure, even though she's very successful. She doesn't need a man. And like, it's like a thing about, like, you know, society dictating what success is. I thought that was pretty interesting. So it's such a silly, dumb show, but it's also like pointing out some of these flaws in our society and how like backwards they are. What do you think, Manas?
Yeah, I think that that's why that episode was so great too, because I feel like a lot of women, especially like women who are in their 30s, are career focused, don't have a man, and are living child free, which actually within this time is more common than married women, but still we're hearing these criticisms over and over and over again. Though I think I would disagree with you, Neves, in terms of this wedding. I thought it was really a fun wedding scene. Though I do agree at Daisy weddings are more fun. I'm biased that way. But this episode, so this actress, Patty Harrison, she's a comedian. She's really, really funny. And in terms of trans representation, this is one of the first trans actors that we have within the show as well. And it doesn't focus around her transness. And it's just like, she's just a woman. Yeah.
Wait, who? I'm sorry.
Patty Harrison.
Who was she in the show?
She was the bride.
I had no idea. Oh my God.
Yeah. She's lovely and she's hilarious. Everything she's in, honestly, she kills me. She cracks me up.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. I had no idea. Thanks for sharing that. Did you know that, Jazz?
Nope. I had no clue.
That's so cool. That actually adds a little bit more layers to this episode. I kind of appreciate it a little more.
Yeah, it's like a real women's woman show, including all types of women. And I love that. I love that this episode for that.
Yeah. That's really cool. Okay, cool.
Cool, yeah.
All right. So what did you think of her telling Jen not to be She-Hulk and be little Jen? And then you can see her clothes not fitting on her, which is so funny.
So throughout the whole, since episode one, I've been obsessed with Jen's clothes. Especially when she's small and she's wearing like these oversized clothes. It's my favorite thing. She's so cute and she's so small. And I love that in this episode, when they ask her to be regular Jen, and whoever made her bridesmaid's dress made it She-Hulk sized. So she's like tiny. And so even though like that fact, it's a little attention to detail that even though the fashion designer didn't make this outfit, it still made sense that she shrunk and it still fit her when she was large. It was like pre-thinking about that. I didn't like that they were so mean to her though. Like that's one of the things that in this episode that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because I feel like, you know, you're all adult women. I understand the bridezilla of it all, but at a certain point, like, you know, this isn't high school, but I guess they are her high school friends. I don't know. It fit a little bit.
Some people never grew out of high school.
This is true. This is true. High school never
ended. I got plenty of friends who are still the same personality, same everything from high school. They haven't grown up a bit. They're still the exact same people. They still have the exact same behaviors. And I'm just like, good luck to y'all.
I don't know a single person from my high school. Like, I have not kept in touch with a single person. I'm sorry.
Maybe you're better for it. You're better
off. Maybe Jen should have done that.
In my defense, I went to 3 different high schools. So, like, we moved around a little bit. So, there was no Facebook back then and stuff like that. So, probably, like, only, like, the last school that, like, I left, I knew I might have been able to Facebook them. But we'll see. Well, I don't know.
What I thought was interesting about, now that you mentioned Jen and them being high school friends, in the beginning of the episode, Jen mentioned she hasn't talked to her in years. And then she's like, oh, you know, I felt like I had to say yes, because how do you say no? But The way that the wedding happened, it's kind of clear that Jen wasn't even a part of the wedding planning or any of that, even though she was a bridesmaid. So it makes you wonder if that she was asked just to prop the bride up. And that's why the bride was so upset when Jen shows up as She-Hulk. She's like, the only reason I invited you here was so everyone
you
would
make
know
me look
I'm
better.
So much better. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Daisy equivalent of that is inviting people who dance at your wedding. Because I feel like sometimes I've been invited just to dance at people's wedding. I'm like, I don't know you that well. I'm surprised you invited me. And then you're like, oh, can you be in this performance? I'm like, oh, okay, now I know why I got invited. It's a thing, guys. It's a thing.
It's a thing. No, I actually decline those weddings. Like, if I don't know you that well, I'm not going to show up. I don't know you.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, cool. This person really likes me. I'm invited to their wedding. And they're like, oh, no. they needed someone to dance. Okay, I get it.
I'll still go. You get free food, and the food is always good. I've never went to a wedding with bad food.
Ooh, I don't know about free that.
Food. I don't know about free food. I feel like you, because there's no box gifts at a Daisy wedding. You got to bring cash.
It's true. You gotta put it in the envelope.
Yeah, but listen, Jen's having a little bit of luck with the guys at the wedding because Josh seems to be really interested in her. What do we think about Josh, guys?
I know everyone's suspicious, but you have to be suspicious. But in my heart, in my like little optimistic, you know, loving rom-coms heart, wish that this is the real deal, because he seems to see her for who she is as Jen, which is all she wanted. And he loves her in both her personalities, which I think is very important for someone like Jen to have in her life.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Also, we got somebody in the crowd today. We got Dell. Dell is a comic book artist. He is super talented. Thanks for joining the chat, Dell. That's going to be awesome. I hope you're really, really looking forward to She-Hulk. All right. So, yeah, I totally agree with you, man. That's a great point. I feel like Josh and her can hit it off, but she's not having the best luck with dudes. So we'll see. I feel like that's the only part of the show that I have a hard time grasping, because there's no way.
Bro.
Like, Tatiana Maslany, like, she's so smoking. Like, she's not only that, but she's so adorable. Like, how are people turning her down?
This is where the apparent differences between men and women become clear, because I have a lot of very, very attractive friends, and I know their struggles. The struggles are just the same as, you know, everyone else. I mean, they get a lot more attention, but they don't get treated well either. Like, I don't feel, I don't know a lot of women that doesn't have a horror story. I don't know any woman that isn't like, oh yeah, I've only had nice men in my life and it's all been good. It's like, it's a struggle. It doesn't matter how beautiful you are. Sometimes it is like pretty privileged is a thing, but dating is a shark's tank.
I've also have not had a lot of good men in my life. Even just the homies, you can't trust the homies.
Bro, there are some of my friends I'd be like, I do not recommend you for my female friends. Like,
it's hard.
No, you're not ready to get married right now.
Like, I love them as people, but I don't love them as somebody that I would recommend any of my friends dating. Like, it's really difficult.
Yeah, I have some friends like that. Just, you know.
Guys, keep in mind that Shakira got cheated on. Shakira.
Yeah.
So if I ever have, like, evidence that it's not easy for beautiful people.
Dude, Shakira have you
got cheated like, on?
Adam Levine's wife this week.
Yeah. Victoria's Secret model. Yeah.
Cheat on a Victoria's Secret model. That's wild to me, bro. That's wild to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel for you.
Some people don't deserve. Yeah. I guess that makes sense. I guess you made sense. Poor Tatiana.
Actually, no. Let's make this a TikTok or like a reel or something. Ladies, if you have struggled recently with men in your life, please sound off below.
Yeah, or drop your number below, because
typical men. Just
kidding. I will treat you right. I will not treat you like a
sure names.
Who's the guy that ditched her after he hooked up with her? I forgot his name. The doctor guy.
The doctor, yeah.
He's still pretty sus to me. All the guys she dates sus. I'm all like,
yeah. There was such a weird. It might just be me disconnect between. So between what, like, I think women think are attractive and what, like, sometimes they're giving us. Because that guy, when, like, when she was like, and he's so hot. And I'm like, but is he? Is that your type? Because he, I guess, like, in terms of what we're getting in the MCU, I'm not saying he's ugly. I'm just saying he's not like, best out there. He's mediocre at best. You know, like, he's no Loki, he's no Thor, he's no Captain America. And I guess those are superheroes, but even with side characters, you know, he's no Kamran.
Shout out to Kamran. All right, cool. All right, so let's talk about Jameela Jamil and her character,
Titania.
And, you know, she invited herself to this wedding. How many people do you know that invite themselves to wedding? I think that's also a thing that I've seen.
She was invited by one of the friends from the groom's side, my guy.
Oh, she was a plus one, but she kind of wheedled her way into there, right?
Yeah, I don't think they were actually dating. I think it was obvious that, like, she started dating him just to get to the wedding.
I felt so bad for Jen when she was like, she's obviously just here to mess with me, and, like, nobody believed her. And I was like typical. Poor Jen.
No. Famous people will come to my wedding.
Yeah. Not everything rolls around you, Jen.
Oh, my God. It's really funny because, like, you know, She-Hulk is a show about someone who has to control their anger. And poor Jen, like, she is constantly having to deal with things that make her angry the entire show. And she still changes only when she wants to. But she is letting out steam. She's getting angry, but only enough. Only as much as she wants. Not so much that she transforms. And that's why she's better at being She-Hulk than the Hulk. You can see it throughout the entire show.
They showing it and not just telling it. You know, it's like, I'm infinitely better at you because I have to do it every day. And she's microaggressed all the time. Even within her female colleagues.
Yeah, her freaking cousin had to explain or mansplain law to her about trademark infringement. He's like, Jen, you know, if you get there first, you get the trademark. She's like a lawyer.
He's wrong on top of all of that. That's not how the law works.
All right, let's talk about Tatiana's dancing. She's got some moves. I was feeling those dance moves. What do you think, Jazz?
No comment.
Listen, I'm big on dancing. I dance at weddings.
Dude, don't get me wrong. I loved it, but I don't want to talk too much about it.
I thought it was very cute, white girl, adorable dancing. That's what I call it. She's having a great time.
She's good.
She's got the vibe. I thought it was adorable. It's really cute. I always notice dancing with people because I feel like she was dumbing it down. I feel like in real life, she's actually probably a pretty good dancer. Because we got the twerking scene and we got this. So, like, And we got a fight to the electric slide. How is that?
Man, Jameela Jamil is such a perfect cast for Titania. One, because she's so tall and so beautiful. But two, she's just like, I love how they put her in this modern day as villain. Like, she's an influencer. So, like, less people are inclined to agree with She-Hulk on this one. And I think that's such an interesting dynamic. Because even though she's so obviously petty and so evil, she's just like, it's people aren't seeing it. And I think that's like an interesting, like, twist to go on. Plus, she's very feminine. You know, she's very, like,
Del says, I love the spirit, but she can't dance. Okay, fair.
You know what's on his mind, though.
Butt with two D's.
All right, fair. So the other thing, like, Minath, I want to go off what you just said about Jameela Jamil. One of the best reasons why she's the best person to play Titania is she actually hates influencers, I think, because she's always in beef with them. Like, she hates the Kardashians. She's always in fights with people who sell, like, these teas and these other dangerous products. Like, she's all up in their business. So she's actually playing a character who's selling, like, these booty juice and, like, all this, like, weird stuff. So she's playing a character of something she hates, and then she's, like, in a meta way, someone she's always, like, fighting with online, which I think is really, really funny. And I think this is why she plays such an unlikable villain, because she doesn't like them herself. I thought that's pretty meta in a way.
Yeah, to Jameela, she is the real villain. She really is playing a villain.
She's great.
She's killing. Every time you see her, there's a stark difference between her and Jen. And I think they're very yin and yang. I know I was watching a TikToker talk about how they kind of don't like it because it seems like each woman in the show is a stereotype. But I think that's the point. I think that, like, they're supposed to be what a trope is supposed to be for each of the characters, but then also kind of pushing it a little so that it's different. And Titania and Jen are both kind of like, one is a stereotypical, like, I'm a tomboy, and the other one's like, I'm a girly girl, and so we can't really be get along. And they really, but literally, they're enemies. Literally, it's like taken to the extreme. So the way they amplify these caricatures of these roles, I feel works with the show.
That's true, and but I feel like they also do it in some places and then don't do it in others. Because Mallory is also somebody who's very opposite of Jen, and you know they. Even in the comic, they're kind of like rivals or frenemies. And in the show, we kind of get to see them work together in the last episode and really get along to the point where, like, Jen might even have a crush on her. I thought it was really interesting. I like their dynamic. What did you think of Mallory?
I love her. I think she was also in The Good Place, the actress. If I'm not mistaken, I'll have to double check my facts on that one. But she really is, she's really like, you know, again, that archetype of like the career woman, get the job done, no nonsense, can't show any emotion. But why I love her character, and this is what I was talking about earlier, where they push it to a point where it's like almost diverting it. She has to be that way. It's clear she has to be that way for her job, because in this episode, they talk about how she's married and has a kid. So they are bringing up her like, more sensitive side. So it's like, yeah, I am this archetype, but I'm also not. And I love that she and like they're kind of like making their own little like girls clique in that firm.
Yeah, I like that. And one of the things that I think is really interesting is we've seen Nikki get along with Mallory a lot this episode. And I'm worried that like Mallory might try to steal her, which would be pretty, pretty bad. What do you think about that?
That would be pretty bad. I hope they don't do that. I wasn't concerned about that until you just said it now. And now
I actually like their pairing. Like, yeah, I thought they were really cute together. And
it's like that meme where it's like, no fears. It's like Mallory's getting stolen. One fear. Yeah.
To me, it's like that meme where like the one guy is looking back and he's walking with this girl. And like,
oh, yeah. Yeah. I think they can all be friends together. I think it'll be great. I think what's going to happen is that they're going to have, they're both going to be supporting She-Hulk in the future because, and the reason I think that is because they were looking at that website together and they both had stark reactions to it and reacted to it differently. But at the end of the day, both of their best interests were in Jen's favor. So I think they're just going to be like there to hype Jen up.
Yeah.
As opposed to the rivalry. I don't think that's
what they're going for it. I hope so too. Because this episode, they were so good together with the Mr. Immortal subplot.
Yeah.
Fun fact, by the way, Mr. Immortal is an Avenger in the actual comics.
No way.
He's an actual Avenger. And so seeing this, like, not a She-Hulk-based law issue, like a, you know, a case, seeing a different hero's case, I thought it was really cool. And they did it beautifully.
You know what I really liked about Mr. Immortal? Like, he has a wide variety of tastes in women, because we saw some Indians in there, we saw some Black people, we saw some Hispanic people. Man gets around, he does not discriminate. I respect
that. And not just women. He is bi. There's a man in that,
Oh, you're right. You're right. Wow. Look at Mr. Immortal go.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Straight up.
But like,
why limit yourself to half the people in the universe? Go for them all.
I do feel like there are some people who literally, if they could regenerate, will kill themselves rather than like avoid confrontation.
I think millennial in the world. I think you just described every millennial in the world.
Yeah. Doorbell rings. I'm going to kill myself.
I'm dead.
No, but you know what? Like, I don't think people understand the implication this implies, because he said he's been around since the 80s. That means he's had powers since the 80s, you know, like we thought that people with powers were only coming to the world in like the 2000s, right? He's someone who says, hey, I've been around since 83 or something like that. And that puts a lot of implications in this world and a lot of world building and a lot of like ideas where it's going to be like, hey, mutants have been around the whole time. These superheroes have been around the whole time. We never saw Jamila Jamil's Tatiana's origin as a hero. We don't know where she got her powers. So they're like, we're not going to explain every single superhero anymore. They're just all here now. And I feel like that's different. What do you think that is, Jess?
So, sorry, I was looking up something about my next point.
Never mind. Let's skip him. Go back to him.
Well, I actually agree with you. And I think there is a lot more implications going on in She-Hulk than just that. I think that is, there are more implications to that than just that the superheroes have been around for a while. So in the Avengers, in Age of Ultron, there is a line that says, since we have come to the forefront, the amount of enhanced beings have accelerated. Mm-hmm. And you see that a lot now. You don't really see that in the Avengers or any of the other beings, other than like the big ones that we know. But right. The implications in She-Hulk, the fact that they even have a law division for superheroes, and the fact that there is a man who, or a person who is a fashion designer for these creators, means that there's a lot of sub-enhanced individuals that the general populace doesn't really know about. And what's really important about She-Hulk and the fact that there is a person who creates these superhero outfits is he has rejected people who are not famous enough. And that is a really, really important thing to note. And Ms. Marvel also touches on it because there's a whole division of people who are rounding up enhanced individuals. But only the people of color individuals. But
Facts. That's really interesting. And the other interesting thing about it is that not all these people with powers are heroes. Like Mr. Immortal was just living his life. He never saved anybody. He never did anything. He was just like chilling. And he's got his Apple stock and he's just like waiting for it to cash it in.
That's true. Yeah, some of them are just living their lives. Some of them, I think, try their best not to be shown. And in going back to what you were saying about mutants, that means that mutants have been around for a while, just are trying to blend in, because mutants are a big metaphor for the unseen minority. And this like really plays into that.
Yeah. No, I agree.
This is a big setup.
Yeah. But also, I just want to note one more thing about Mr. Immortal before we move off the topic. The hardest thing that he had to do was apologize to somebody sincerely.
I know. 30 seconds? 30 whole seconds with eye contact?
I thought that was so funny. This show is so funny. I love the way like they have his back and like, the lawyers are helping him, but they're also like judging him hard.
The best part of that scene, too, was it wasn't the lawyer that came up with the solution. It was the assistant. Yeah.
The paralegal. Yes. That was cool.
I love their dynamic, Nikki and Mallory. They're so great.
Nikki has chemistry with everybody on screen. With Wong, with the sneaker guy. What's the sneaker guy named Pug? And then Jen and Mallory. Like, every single person she's on the scene with, like, knocked it out of the park. She's amazing.
Holy crap. Del was saying Mr. Immortal was an Avenger in the comics, led by Hawkeye. Yeah, he's an actual Avenger. So
that's wild.
So you're right. But a Westlake Avenger, so I feel like that's a sub-Avenger.
You're not a real Avenger.
Led
by Hawkeye? Come on.
Yeah. Also, if you're on Pacific time, you're not a real person. Like, Eastern time is where it's at, baby. But it's really interesting.
You're going to piss a lot of people off with that one.
I know. I'm sorry. I take it back, guys. I was joking. It was a mazak. Mazak means joking. Or this, I was mazaking. That's it. Del says, Great Lake Avengers were formed with its founding member, Mr. Immortal, Flatman, Doorman, Big Bertha, Dinosaur, and Leatherwood. So I know Flatman and Big Bertha. So that's
okay, it's like a very... Right team. I knew it. Of course, it had to be led by Hawkeye. But can we appreciate Dinosaur? What an amazing name!
That is funny.
That's a mess. I have to look her up. Demo.
Yeah.
Oh
my god. That's
oh my god. Hilarious. They actually look like a pterodactyl. It's like that is frightening, but amazing.
So funny. All these heroes are pretty interesting, but the show ends with them finding out this lab, not finding out this lab, but like basically we get to see this lab, and they have the broken syringe, and now they have this new syringe. And I think it's really interesting because we get to see this new tip, and there was somebody she went on a date with who said, you know, nothing can break my skin. And he goes, even vibranium? And now we see this new tip. I don't know, man. Did Jen go on a date with a guy who...
Oh, for sure. In fact, I would be surprised if all the men she went on dates on are secretly involved with this.
Yeah, maybe the main bad guy, guy he slept with.
Right, because I don't think guys... I think what's going to happen is that guys are such cowards when it comes to dating Jen that no normal-minded guy would swipe right on her, right? The only people swiping right on her are the people trying to get something from her.
That's awful.
I can see that being a subplot.
Yeah. There's also the whole thing about, like, fetishizing women and stuff like that. That's also a very important point that the show kind of subtly brings up over and over again, which I think is pretty interesting.
Show them actually, that website, Intelligentsia, right?
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that, yeah. Because
straight up, they're talking about 4chan here.
Yeah.
There's no other way around it. This is 4chan. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, do you know what? I couldn't, if you don't mind, I'm going to bring up the scene in the new Batman where they had, that Riddler also had a similar website. But I think when I saw that in the new Batman, I'm like, is this a joke? There's only like 400 people in here. Like, that's not a lot of people. But in this, it really felt a lot more real and a lot more, like, frightening.
Scary, right? Because
it just felt like, yeah, a lot of people were on there, and it's like, it's a real thing that happens to a lot of women, especially like with Pokimane is a great example.
It's interesting that you brought that up and that it happens to a lot of women, because it literally happened to a friend of ours. JJ was on our show when we did House of the Dragon, and they got her account taken off. They like mass reported her account. So like, you know, she makes fun of Star Wars fans and, you know, all these people who, you know, they're kind of toxic and fragile. They got together and organized and somehow took down her entire account. And so these people are scary, man. They're very organized. And I've had people do that to me. For me, it wasn't like incels, but it was Hindu nationals. When I was talking about Miss Marvel, they got together and tried to take down my account because I was doing Easter eggs for Miss Marvel, where I don't even mention India or Hindus at all. Like, there's no mention of it. They just didn't like the fact that I was praising Miss Marvel. So it's crazy. These groups are crazy.
They are scary. I have a friend who's a streamer too, and she was doing a live stream at Disney World, and they had to call the cops because there were people outside waiting at the entrance, and they were saying in the live stream, I'm going to kill you. I'm waiting for you to come out. I'm here at the entrance, and I'm going to kill you.
Holy
and
wow.
This is a real life. So it's like scarier than just, like, not just getting your account removed, I apologize, but it's real life threats. And they'll find you in life. And yeah, it's not a joke. It's scary. And it's the fact that this is in the show, and the fact that Jen is so, as She-Hulk, is so indestructible, it's kind of like the delusion of these people is so apparent. But at the same time, as a woman watching it or anyone watching it, it's very frightening.
Oh, I lied. Yeah. Okay. So it's not 4chan. It's now Truth Social.
Well, here's the thing, right, about that. It's because, here's the thing, why don't these people get treated the way we get treated, right? Whenever something happens with our culture and religion, people are like, where were they radicalized? Who's radicalizing them? Why isn't these questions ever asked of these incels and white nationalists? They never get that brought up. They never get put on lists. It's so, you know.
If they get put on a list, you know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, the list is going to be huge.
And they all get put on a list, and that includes some people who are in power right now.
Oh.
They don't want
that. They're protected by the system, pretty much.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah, white supremacy is the thing, and it's a problem. I don't know what... But,
I'll say casually, right? Institutional racism, it's a thing.
At the end of the day, it's all rooted in colonialism. Everything spreads from that. Everything that's happening now has spread from that.
It's so funny that, like, this dumb show that is super silly and is not taking itself seriously still brings up more valid and political and, you know, philosophical questions than any other show in Marvel. Like talking about like the difference between anger and how people resonate and use their anger, and then radicalization and what you call it, Instagram fame. Like it's so interesting where the show is trying to play itself off like this silly little show. Still brings up a lot of good questions.
And this isn't a silly little show, my dude. This is a show. Yeah. They know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. They went so far ahead to predict how people would react and then base episodes around that just to make fun of them. They know exactly what they're doing. And this show is going to be one of the shows where we like look back at it in the future and be like, holy shit. This show is made by like PhD scientists on sociology. Like they knew exactly what they were talking about.
It's wild for me that like people are hardcore fans of a franchise and that franchise is openly mocking them. Like couldn't be me, guys. Couldn't be me. But
it feels like a lot of people don't like the things that they say they like. It's like, do you like it? All I hear you do is complain. So like I'm not sure if it's okay if you stop liking it. You can move on.
It's really fine. Weird because like I can't tell if people are just doing it for rage and content and views and stuff like that, or if they really mean it. Because some of these people, I can't tell. Like some of these people are, it's like okay, they're trying to get 16,000 followers, right? They're like, oh, if I say all of this crazy stuff, I'm gonna get all these toxic fans. People are gonna stitch me. I'm gonna get a lot of notoriety. You know, it's fake. It's fake rage. And I stopped doing that. I don't stitch people anymore. I will screen record or download their video and make fun of them if I want to. But I will not tag them. I will not stitch them. I will not give them that benefit. In fact, I will just do it to my mutuals only and just like mock you in private.
Yeah. It's a little bit different when they start having those conversations with, you know, people in real life. And then you're like, I gotta question the people I'm hanging out with.
That gets really uncomfortable too, because I'm like, but the thing is, like, I don't mind if people hate the show. Just give me a good, valid reason, right? It's not for you. It's not everything is meant for you.
That's fine too.
I don't like What If. I hate that show. I didn't like it at all. I say it all the time. I didn't make any TikToks about it. I just didn't talk about it, right? I only bring it up when people say, like, what are your favorite shows? And it's always at the end. And, like, hey, I just don't like it. It's not for me.
As Dell is saying, there's no bad press. People just want to be relevant. Nays, are you saying you don't like What If just because you want to be relevant?
No, I don't like it. I just didn't like the story for What If, and I didn't like the tone. And that's it, you know?
The only episode I liked was Loki, and that's coming from someone who... it's only because I like Loki. And like, you know, we always want to see Jotun Loki, and you're like, yes. That episode when Thor is a party person. That's the only episode I like. But yeah, I agree with you. I do not care for Peggy, Captain Carter.
Oh my God.
For many reasons. But yeah.
That first episode was so hard for me to get through. Just like, I don't know.
We're going to trade one Imperial colonizer for a different Imperial colonizer. Yeah. This is a win for everybody.
I did like that T'Challa episode, though. I'm not going to lie. That was a good episode.
Star-Lord. Yeah, it definitely had its like hits and misses.
Yeah. All right.
If you don't mind, I'm actually going to circle back to something you mentioned earlier because I just thought about it. The fact that they changed the needle. Can Jen be penetrated as Jen? Because her the way she's affected is different than Bruce. She gets intoxicated and stuff.
But she got into a fight with Titania as Jen. She was not She-Hulk. And she took that punch to the face. And she did not get hurt.
Did she not get hurt? She fell over.
She fell over, but she did not get hurt. Like, Titania punched her, like, 20 yards away, right? And also, you have to remember, when Hulk jumped off that plane, I mean, not sorry, Bruce Banner jumped off the plane in Thor Ragnarok, landed straight on the pavement, did not change. Did not die.
That's true. Fair enough.
Right? And if also, we keep talking about the same time.
All right, you go first.
Ladies first.
Okay, I said if they penetrate the skin, I will be disappointed, actually, because I feel like that's the one thing is the anti-Hulk. Like, yeah. The whole point is they're indestructible. But yes, go ahead.
I agree. I was going to say that Bruce also tried to shoot inside him, too. Like, he put a bullet in his mouth. And that also didn't work because the Hulk spit it out. So, yeah, I agree. I feel like if they go that route where, like, they just invent a needle that can penetrate her, and I feel like that's cheap. That's a little cheap. Yeah, I probably won't like that.
Yeah, I agree. No, our resident Marvel expert says she would not be hurt, so.
Yeah.
Dulls, so it definitely would be a problem if they did. Because they're trying to get the blood. And the only reason that Jen was able to get the blood is because of the machine that forced Bruce to become human. Like, so... And was able, Bruce was able to get her. Otherwise, without, and he destroyed that machine. So,
exactly.
I don't
know. Yeah, because, yeah, Bruce was the one who tested her blood, so he knows how to do it. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Dell's confirming it. From the time their body or brain gets hurt, their body will react in Hulk form and save them or protect them.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think that. But, it's been 6 episodes. We do not know who the main villain is. We do not have any answers. And I feel like the show wants it that way. I feel like they're doing that on purpose because they're like, you know what? You're going to enjoy it the way we want you to enjoy it, not the way you want to enjoy it. So I don't mind it. Listen, you dictate how you want us to do it. And we're just here for the ride.
Yeah. And if anything, it shows that really it is the Jen show, not the Jen's villain show.
Or the Matt Murdock show. Or... Yeah. Like every other sub-character show, it's Jen show.
Listen, if that Mac Murdock scene was a ruse just to like joke and it never existed in the first place, I would be so happy. I'm not gonna lie, I would crack up. I would just crack up. As much as I would love to see Daredevil, just the look, the egg on their face to know that he's not in an entire episode, that would be so funny to me.
That's the Ralph Boner of it all. I think for that same reason, I would be so happy if Mephisto never came into the MCU.
Oh man, I would love it if Madison with two N's and a Y but not where you think ended up being Mephisto.
I hope we get to see more of her. She's the best.
I do too. She was so funny. I'd rather see more of her and Wong than I would of Matt. I'm sorry.
No. I think this is what the show wants you to do. I think the show is straight up saying, hey, I know we know you all want to see Matt Murdock, right? Too bad. Like these characters instead.
Yep. Well, speaking of too bad our episode is at the end. We are almost approaching the bottom of the hour or whatever it's called. Thank you so much, Manal, for being on the show. Again, let people know where they can find you.
Yes, please find me on Instagram and TikTok at Minhas Morgul.
Awesome. Well, hopefully we can have you back on the show. And since we are talking about She-Hulk again, we want to say our prayers are with the women in Iran who are going through so much right now. Like I said in our last episode, if you know women who are Iranian, they're talking about this stuff, amplify their voices. Make sure that they are heard. Do not center yourself. Do not speak over them. Anything else you guys want to add before we end the show?
Nah, you summed it up beautifully, my guy.
Yeah.
All right, guys. And until next time, guys, salam, nerds.
Peace.
A bientôt.